If you've not been around for a little while, good to see you. Great to see the Bennetts back from their trip. I was expecting a slightly more resounding kind of welcome back, but he kind of welcomed himself, which is good. Good to have the Bennetts back. Chris is going to be coming and speaking a little bit later on. Okay, and I've got a quick quiz just to get you going. Are you ready for this? We're going to worship in a moment. But before we pray and give the evening to the Lord, I want to do a bit of a... Can I... That's right, you could... I think, do you mind just watching your tea? I don't want to cause a disaster. Okay, you ready? So this is... Who said that? Okay, so I'm going to give you 7 quotes. And there is a prize. Alice, have you got a prize there? There's a prize for the table that Alice deems the most on the ball tonight. And you can't pick this table unless it really is. That's Hattie's. Where's the prize? Okay, Dairy Milk Oreo, no expense spared. For the table that that gets this right, are you ready? So, Master, we trust you. You keep hold of that. Okay, so here we go. You're not eating chocolate. Okay, so first one. Any man or woman on this earth who is bored and turned off by worship is not ready for heaven. So you've got a choice there. You can see the choices. Graham Kendrick, Augustine of Hippo, Charles Spurgeon, Martin Luther, G.K. Chesterton, N.T. Wright, and Tozer. These are some of my favourite theologians. One or two living, the rest are dead. So decide on your table, and we'll quickly buzz around. And when I point to you, if you haven't got a decision, you lose the chance. Jesus. Tozer. 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 Kendrick. Lost your chance. Augustine. Lost your chance. Chris. You. A trick question. You lost your chance. Tozer. Spurgeon. Kendrick. Right. Okay, let's take a look. The answer is... Next one. Oh, sorry. Yeah, do you mind... Okay, it's Tozer. Who got that right? Quite a few of you got that right. Okay, next one. Come, Lord, stir us up and call us back. Kindle and seize us. Be our fire and our sweetness. Let us love. Let us run. I love this quote. These are all quotes on worship, by the way, in case you're wondering. Who said that? All right, you ready? We're going to go back this way now. You've got to decide. You guys. Spurgeon? Spurgeon? Kendrick? Who? Martin Luther? You're going to be right one of them, aren't you? Okay. Augustine? Spurgeon? Kendrick? Spurgeon? Jesus, Kendrick, Martin Luther, Augustine. Okay, let's have a look. The answer is Augustine. Well done, you guys. You've got to keep your own scores. You're doing very well. All right, next one. We are perishing for lack of wonder, not for lack of wonders. Good quote. We're perishing for lack of wonder, not lack of wonders. Okay, so we'll start... Jesus again? Jesus? Your mum? Your mum? Okay, my mum. I would love it if my mum had said that. You guys? Spurgeon? Chesterton? Chesterton? Spurgeon? You guys? Martin Luther? Spurgeon? Chesterton? Spurgeon? Spurgeon? Right, okay. Okay, let's see who said it. Chesterton, the author of the Father Brown Mysteries, as well as some great theology of joy. We're perishing for lack of wonder, not for lack of wonders. Okay, next one. Nothing teaches us about the preciousness of the Creator as much as when we learn the emptiness of everything else. All right. Okay, let's start with you guys. Spurgeon. Right. Spurgeon. Right. Right. Spurgeon. 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 Right. Spurgeon. 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 Left, right. Oh, I see what you did there. Very clever. And Joe, you're still on Jesus. Okay. All right, let's have a look. Charles Spurgeon. Okay. Some of you just got your first point. All right, next one. The gift of language combined with the gift of song has given to man that was given to man that he should proclaim the word of God through music. What do you think? All right, let's start at the back. NT Wright, yes, good. Kendrick? 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 Anybody not Kendrick? Yeah, clearly. You're going to go for Luther. Okay, let's take a look. Martin Luther! You guys should just listen to what he says and just copy him. Okay, next one. Worship has been misunderstood as something that arises from a feeling which comes upon you. But it is vital that we understand that it is rooted in a conscious act of the will to serve and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not that many left, so we know exactly where Jonathan's table is going with this. NT Wright. Okay, you guys? Kendrick? 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 Anybody not Kendrick? You're going to go right? Oh, okay. You're going with Malcolm? You're going with Malcolm? So, Joe, let's just be clear. You've moved from Jesus to Malcolm. Okay, let's see if she's right. Graham Kendrick. Oh! You're going back. Good. Joe Coombs is going back to Jesus. Fantastic. Okay, last one. This one is for Jonathan's table. The closer you get to the truth, the clearer becomes the beauty, and the more you will find worship welling up within you. And of course it is. NT Wright. Good. That's a great quote, isn't it? The closer you get to the truth, the clearer becomes the beauty, and the more you will find worship welling up within you. Okay, last one, which Joe, you're going to come into your own on this one. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. We all know that Jesus said that. Have you ever thought about what he didn't say? He didn't say where we had to worship. He didn't say how often. He didn't say kind of who it was with, what the forms of worship were. He said, you've got to worship him in spirit and in truth. That gives us so much freedom, doesn't it? So much liberty. And that's really the goal of this evening as we ask this question around, God, what do you want to say to us as a church about worship moving forward? So I'm just going to pray, and then Andy's going to come and lead us in a few songs. And then right at the center of our evening, of course, is Jesus. And we're going to sit around tables, a bit more appropriate perhaps than in pews. And we're going to have a meal with the Lord, with him at the center, this communion meal. And then we'll begin just to ask some of these questions flowing out from being with Christ. What does it look like to worship the Jesus that we've sat at the table with? All right. So Lord, we pray for this evening, simply that we would be your people and that you'll be pleased with us. Father, we're aware of some of those scriptures where you tell us clearly, don't give up meeting together. And you call us to be those that will worship in spirit and in truth. And Father, also you tell us that it's together that we know the mind of Christ. And so we ask you, Holy Spirit, this evening, that you would lead us to sit with you, to remember you, to know your grace and your forgiveness at this table, this incredible meal that you've given us, that we're doing with millions of others around the world today. And Father, as we talk together, as we dream a little bit, as we think, what could it be like if we stirred our hearts, some of these quotes that we've read, if we really grew in worship as those who worship in spirit and truth, what would that look like? Father, we pray that you will lead us. In Jesus' name, amen.
While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Okay, this is your time now, so just get into your tables, share some things, and I'll bring the bread round and the wine round. And I'm going to leave it to you, because you're all grown-ups, you all know what you're doing. Once you've shared and you feel ready, give thanks for the bread and wine on your own tables and share together, okay? So it's all over to you. Okay, if you could be finishing off your conversations, give you about another minute, and then I'm going to hand over to Chris to come and speak. Okay, let's pray for Chris as he comes up. Lord, we thank you so much for worship, that we can have this connection with you, that you would welcome us. What an amazing thought, that you would welcome us to come and worship you and sing to you and give you our everything. And Lord, we pray for Chris as he shares with us this evening his heart for worship, that he would speak real truths which are right from your heart, the things which he's passionate about. And Lord, we go away from this place and just connect with you a bit more. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. Good evening. It's good to be back from sunny Florida. Spent 2 weeks doing the old Disney thing. It's interesting, actually, when we prayed earlier on, Matt said, oh, look, here comes a heavyweight. And I know I put on a bit of weight over in America, but didn't think it was quite that much, but must be. Anyway, so I just wanted to talk a little bit about my heart for worship with you guys tonight. And just a bit about what I think God's been saying to me about where we're heading as a worship team, but also as a family and as a church family here at Welton into 2018 and beyond. And for me, worship's always been my passion. So it's both in a traditional church setting. So I spent many years growing up in a Methodist church where we sang traditional hymns with organ playing, through to modern day worship, which is what we do here in Welton. But whatever form of sung worship takes, that's where my heart is. It's where I find my closest connection happens with God and most intimate times I can have with God. It's also where I'm able to open up my heart to him. And I lay all my all before his throne in praise and thanksgiving and adoration. But it's also where I'm most vulnerable to God. Because even though I know he knows my every step, it's where I feel my innermost thoughts and feelings and ideas seem to be laid bare before his throne. But finally, it's where I find the things in my life where I need to change can be worked upon. It's where I can be made new in him. And if I didn't have worship in my life, I know I would struggle in my walk with God, because it replenishes my soul. It gives me strength to face things I need to face and courage to change the parts of my life that I know I need to change. And I do hope that resonates with some of you. And we're going to have time to talk about what worship means to us later. But in terms of where I believe God is leading us, worship is such a central part to play in our church family. I just think it's no surprise that actually it's where the devil likes to have his most vigorous work. So many times we've seen in other churches and in our church that the devil tries to have his way so that worship is diluted or it's disruptive. And I think it's because worship is one of the key elements to our spiritual life. And I believe in 2018 that God wants us to draw closer to him, to open our hearts and minds to him, and to break away the chains that sometimes bind us. And I think I've said it a number of times on a Sunday morning, but I often wonder what our worship would look like if Jesus himself was to come and be part of our Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings. If he was stood in front of us, what would our worship look like? Perhaps we may not see such a room full sometimes of glum faces, or maybe people not singing, hands not raised. No, I'm sure it'll look totally different. But isn't it true that he's always with us? And indeed, he's here on a Sunday, or any day for that matter. Now, I do recognise that for some, worship isn't maybe their thing. And maybe they don't connect so intimately through worship, and sung worship specifically. But is it something we can really opt out of? Well, my belief is worship and sung worship is not an optional part of our Christian life. Throughout the Bible, we are in fact instructed to do so. In Colossians 3:16, it says, "Let the word of God dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God." And in Ephesians chapter 5, 18 to 19, it says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart." So those two verses say to me that actually sung worship is an instruction from God. But I like to think about, well, why? Why is sung worship such a core element that God has called us to do? Well, firstly, when we sing, more often than not, we're singing about biblical truths. In fact, quite a lot of the songs that we sing, modern or old, are based firmly in scriptures. Therefore, we're digging deep roots into God's word. Secondly, when we sing, we tend to build up others. When you enter a morning or an evening service and hear lots of voices singing these spiritual truths and confessions of faith, it cannot but spur each other on. In fact, since moving to our new layout, we're not up on the stage, we're down with you guys in the congregation, one of the biggest blessings to me is being able to hear the congregation singing songs. But not just those two things, we're also declaring war. Spiritual truths and biblical facts within our corporate worship time must strike an arrow of fire into the devil, and he must despise it. Above all else, though, we are declaring our love and adoration of the one who saved us all, which has to be enough just on its own. So, my conclusion is, we must worship. And if we throw away the chains that bind us, focus our hearts and minds on him, then I believe our worship will be transformed. And through that transformation, we will draw closer to God and have a deeply and meaningful encounter with him. It's my heart, and what I think God's laid on my heart for 2018 for us as a church family, is we continue to grow in our worship lives, that we will be able to break away from some of those chains that bind us and have a real meaningful encounter with God during our corporate worship time. As a church, we are really blessed to have many talented and gifted musicians and singers. And there's several more I know who want to join our worship team, which is great news. We've also got some fantastic young people who are really on fire for God. And it's amazing to see that in those guys. So another thing, my vision for 2018 and beyond is to further encourage new people to join our worship team and build our worship ministry, but also maybe to start to hand on some of those worship roles to some of our young people. And finally, we've been really blessed, as I've said, with so many musicians. And the one thing I think about when God blesses us and blesses us to overflow is he does that so that we can share those blessings with others. So the other part of my vision for 2018 is to start sharing those blessings with other churches around us. That may mean making sacrifices. But isn't it true that God blesses us so we can bless others and then he will fill us up again? Finally, I'd love to see more opportunities for us to come together as a church family in dedicated worship time. The Sunday worship evenings we've trialled over the last few months have been a real blessing to me and a wonderful time of corporate worship. But what is the future? Well, that's what we're here to discuss tonight. And Matt's going to lead us in a few questions and breakout times for us just to think about, what does worship mean for us as a church family moving into 2018? And what part do Sunday nights play in that? So Matt, I'll hand over to you.
Nice one. Thanks, Chris. Hopefully that's kind of whetted your appetite a little bit, got you thinking around, what does worship do? Why do we do this stuff? Why do we sing together? And where are we headed? And you may already have some hopes, some thoughts. Maybe there's some things that really frustrate you. Maybe there are some things that you really, really love that you think, oh, I want that to grow. And that's completely fine. What we're going to do now is take probably 20 minutes, and it'd be 5 minutes for each question, just on our tables. And what I'd like you to do is just maybe one person on your table before you kick in, just pray this scripture that I love, this scripture that says it's together that we know the mind of Christ. And I think we can do that this evening, just so that you're not completely freaked out. What we look at this evening isn't going to form the kind of
the blueprint plan for 2018. We're trying to get a hold of God's heart. As elders, different leaders around the church for the last few months, we've been asking the question, what do we feel the Lord wants us to do with Sunday evenings? Where are we headed with worship? But we felt this would be a really important part of that. Actually, us as a church together, looking each other in the eye and saying, where are we at? What's good? What could be better? What is God saying? So there are four questions, and this is how we're going to do it. I'll read the questions in a moment. But we're going to get somebody on the table to pray. And then we're going to do the first question, give you 5 minutes. And ideally, what I'd like you to do, thanks, Claire's going to come around with some pens. Thanks, Claire. On your tables, you'll find some post-it notes that kind of correlate with the sheets around the wall. So you see number one over here is orange, number two is pink, number three is blue, and number four is a greeny-yellow colour. And so the first question, the idea is that you talk together for a few minutes and then begin to write down your ideas. Now, you're not trying to come to some full-on consensus, all right? So if Andy has a massive argument with Sally and they disagree fundamentally this evening, Sally's looking like that's possible. Andy's like, that would never happen. Sally's like, yeah, that's exactly going to happen. It's completely fine. Andy, you can write down one thing. Sally, you can write down another, all right? So you're not trying to reach a consensus. You're trying to draw out from each other. What's your wisdom? What are your thoughts? Where would you like us to be headed? And then after 5 minutes, I'm going to bang a gong, if we had a gong, and going to just to come and stick up your answers, all right? So the first one, just be over here. So first question, I'll go around the four questions that they're in your mind, and then we'll do the first one. First question is, what are the most important, fruitful parts of our Sunday evening services, all right? So in a minute, you're going to discuss that for 5 minutes. Then we're going to move on. We're going to ask, what changes would you like to see to Sunday evenings next year? The third question is, how can we encourage our young people to grow in worship? There's kind of some momentum. There's a real kind of sense of God doing some stuff with our young people in the area of worship. How do we encourage that? What are your thoughts? And then finally, what do you feel God is saying to us about worship at Welton? Thank you, Chris. Chris has kind of gone out on a limb a little bit and said, this is me. This is my kind of how I get intimate with God, how he challenges who I am. This is what I see, part of our future, sacrifice, more people coming in. So he shared some of his heart. But what about you? What do you think God is saying about worship for us as a church into 2018?
Okay, let's pray. Father God, we want to bring you more than a song because you deserve more than a song. Father God, I pray that as we sing, as we worship, not just on a Sunday, but throughout the week, that, Lord, you will show us what it really means to worship you, to be a worshiping people, to be a worshiping church. And that, Father, as we move forward in this ministry, that you would help us to really understand what you want. And, Lord, I just remember that word that you gave me when I first started to lead worship about being present, that that's what you require, that you want our presence, that you want our attention, that you want to be our focus when we worship you. And I just pray that that would be a reality for each one of us. I pray that this week we would worship you as we go about our daily business. May we be aware of your presence in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen.